Welcome to the Barth Calderon Wealth Protector Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women Presidents Organization, Vistage, the Young Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
Hi, everybody. This is Paul Hitchcock with the Asset Protection, Estate Planning, and Business Planning firm Barth Calderon. Welcome to Wealth Protector TV. Really excited to have my colleague on here, Noelle Bryce. Noelle, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And I want to just jump right into this. This is trust administration. And, you know, people have a lot of questions about what this is, best practices, pitfalls to avoid. So, Noelle, let's get into it. What exactly is trust administration and when do you need it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So you want to think about trust administration as the wind up period after somebody who owns the trust passes away. So it could be mom or dad, it could be one of the spouses in a married trust. They usually have what's called a revocable living trust. Sometimes it's irrevocable, but usually what we're dealing with is a revocable living trust. One person passed away or the second person passed away, like a married couple where the second spouse passed away. And now we're winding up the estate. What does that mean? It means we're gathering the assets. We're doing the last or the returns. We're distributing the property based on what the trust says should happen next. So the trust is, in a way, is it's in a rule book letting us know what's going to happen. And the administration is sort of the management, right? You want to think of it as the management of those assets and their distribution to from point A to point B, which is from the grantor to the beneficiaries.
But Noelle, who is actually doing that? Is this somebody that's named within the trust?
Definitely. So you want to think of the person doing the management as the trustee. I like to call them the manager because it's helpful, but their legal title is the trustee. And the person who put the assets into the trust is usually the trustee during their lifetime. After they pass away, they name successor trustees. Those, it could be one person, it could be a number of people, depending on what they listed. That trustee then becomes effective. Their position becomes effective upon the grantor's passing. And now they find themselves, you know, in a position to be a trustee. What does that mean? Well, they're a fiduciary. So they're responsible to take care of those assets, manage and grow them for the benefit of the beneficiaries. And with that comes a lot of responsibilities.
Now, is the trustee, so let's say there's a husband and wife, and they name a trustee one of their kids. And then one of the parents passes away, or maybe not, but they start to become incapacitated, right? So would the trustee then step in and start handling things? I mean, how does that work?
So the trustee is ready to go when you need them, right? They're in line, ready to act as needed. And one of the ways they act is what we expect them to is upon passing. Now, the other way is just resignation. The mom or the dad in this case just don't want to act anymore for one reason or another. They say, well, you can take over as trustee. The example you just gave, Paul, is incapacity. That's also another reason why mom or dad in this case just don't, not necessarily don't want to act, but cannot act, right? They just can't take care of their finances anymore. They don't really know what's going on. They're no longer in a place to be able to act. So then, therefore, under the trust terms, we would deem them incapacitated, which would then trigger the next provision for the successor trustee, the one next in line, to be able to step in and act. So it could be during the lifetime of the grantor. It could be later. It just really depends on the circumstances. But bottom line is they're ready to go when we need them.
Yeah. And I think of all the important scenarios that come up while the parents are still alive, you know, when, you know, people are living longer than ever before today, but, you know, they're getting these cognitive illnesses. And so this is where the trustee would step in to make decisions about housing, medical care, finances. Is that correct?
Yeah, so the trustee is handling whatever is in the trust. So I like to call that trust land. Okay, that's what I tell a lot of my clients. So look, think of the trustee as managing the assets in trust land. So whatever is inside of that trust, if it's the house, if it's the retirement accounts, investment accounts, the trustee can manage those things as well as pay for the maintenance on those things. Now, if there's something outside of trust land, like let's say mom and dad get into an accident, and now we have to hire a new attorney to take on a personal injury claim. Well, the trustee doesn't actually have authority to do that. That's where the power of attorney comes in. Okay. They have the authority to step in and do that. And a lot of times we see the trustee and the power of attorney as the same people. It depends on the circumstances, but more often than not, I advise my clients that they be the same people because they're handling the same stuff. But more often than not, the trustee's only handling what's in trust land. The power of attorney can step in and do other things, financially related speaking. And then the example you gave, Paul, about the medical type things, if it's a payment, like medical payments, durable power of attorney or the trustee can handle that. But if it's a medical decision, that's a little bit different. So that's where the Advanced Healthcare Directive comes in, which appoints a healthcare agent to act on behalf of mom or dad in this scenario.
Got it. So then, Noelle, when the trust, the estate needs to be settled, you've got the trustee that's handling that. How do you integrate as part of the trust settlement? I mean, why do you get involved? And, you know, when do you get involved?
So I know attorneys have a bad rap sometimes and clients just
not you,
wanna,
not you.
Yeah,
not
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Clients just want to kind of do your own way, which is fine. A trustee can do it themselves if they want, but it's always better to have an advisor or an attorney advisor on your side, because when we're hired to do a trust administration, what we're doing is that we're not the trustees, right? We're not the listed trustee, but we're coming alongside the trustee. We're advising the trustee on what is your role? What does the trust say? Sometimes that legalese is puts you to sleep, right? So you need an attorney to come alongside you and say, here's the bottom line. This is what needs to happen. And sometimes those trusts are complicated. Sometimes there's a lot of beneficiaries, or one of the beneficiary passed away. Where does their share go to, right? So a lot of these things are not just black and white. You do need an attorney to come in and digest it a little bit for you. Amongst the other roles that the trustee has is an ongoing obligation, let's say for accounting, loyalty to the beneficiaries. What kind of transparency do they need to have? So there's certain things required in the law that the trustee must do as a fiduciary. And unless they're advised of those rights and obligations and duties, they may not know. And so it's good for them to be protected and say, okay, I want to help my, you know, mom and dad, or I want to help whoever appointed me as trustee and honor their wishes, but I don't want to get sued, right? I don't want to get into trouble. So the trustee needs to kind of get in that mindset of, I'm a fiduciary, I have legal obligations, I need to do things by the book. Let me have an attorney help me do this job. And so that's where we come alongside them in the trust administration process to explain everything from A to Z, kind of show them where the finish line is, because that's really important, especially when things kind of drag on or problems come up or the estate is really complicated. They just lost a loved one. They may not be in a position to jump in there and do all the legal work. So it's really nice to be able to delegate some of the work to the attorney and say, hey, can you handle this for me? Show me where the finish line is. Show me what I need to do so that we can wrap this up smoothly without a lot of conflict and do the job right. And everything, you know, is wrapped up at that point, for the better of everybody involved.
Right. No. And then when people call you, Noelle, and you get involved, the first step is you're meeting with the interested parties and looking at the trust, and you do a kind of an onboarding session. Is that what happens?
Yeah, there's always got to be an onboarding session, because as much as I can give general information, every time it's different, right? Some asset didn't have a home, right? The complexity of the asset, whether it's business or real estate, sometimes there's titling issues. So it's good to have, you know, an initial call with the client just to build some rapport, but that initial consultation, even in addition to that, getting some of those initial questions answered under our belts first, getting a lay of the land, getting a copy of the trust, and a copy of the will, death certificate in hand is always helpful. Sometimes clients come to me and the person hasn't passed away yet. Maybe they're in hospice. Maybe they need to step in as successor trustee for incapacity reasons. But for whatever the reason may be, the documents, the estate planning documents, are essential to kind of have during that first consultation, and a basic questionnaire answering information about the decedent, the trustee, their contact information, and then of course the assets. Once I have a bigger picture, sometimes I may be able to spot some issues like, oh, here's an asset that wasn't titled properly in the trust. What do we do about that? Or here's a bank account that was never put in the name of the trust. There's no beneficiary on it either. What do we do about that? So those are some of the questions we would run through and spot during the initial consultation, because what may seem to be a simple trust administration could actually require a level of probate administration as well. Maybe not a full-blown probate, but something that the trustee wasn't expecting in order to take care of that asset.
And while you get involved in that, there's a probate issue, you can assist on that piece of it also?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. So I can take care of that from A to Z, whether it's a full-blown administration or something more of a small estate matter, we can take care of it. No problem.
Wonderful. Noelle, what a great refresher on trust administration. We appreciate it. Thank you everybody for listening. Keep in tune with us. And if you ever have any questions, I always offer this. We love giving back. If you'd like to get one-on-one with Noelle, wherever you're watching this video, because we stream these everywhere, you can get in contact with us, get one-on-one with Noelle to learn more. And Noelle, appreciate you being here, and we'd love to have you back.
Thank you, Paul. I'd like to be back. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome. We'll see you soon.
Thanks.